So, if you want to host an elite million-dollar equestrian event for the world's billionaires, who do you call to rent the land?
Right. I mean, you'd think a massive commercial real estate mogul.
Exactly, or like some multinational conglomerate, but no, try a local grassroots soup kitchen.
It's amazing.
It really is. Welcome to our deep dive, everyone. As editors who cover, the economic and cultural pulse of this region, we are turning our focus today to this really fascinating paradox in Saugerties, New York.
Yeah, we're looking at HIs on the Hudson.
Right, the massive summer 100-jumper equestrian circuit. And the core of this story, it isn't just about the horses.
No, not at
It's
all.
about the fact that this 200-acre showgrounds, which hosts one of the country's most exclusive sporting events, sits on land owned by a family of Woodstock, Inc.
Which is a local human services nonprofit.
Yeah, it's
The
wild.
contrast between the landlord and the tenant here is just, it's jarring, but in the best way possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Family of Woodstock, they are the ultimate boots on the ground crisis support network for Northern Ulster County.
Right.
I mean, this is an organization that started back in the 1970s as a literal coffee house and crash pad for transient youth.
And they still do so much, right?
Oh, yeah. Today, they run the local food pantry. They operate a youth shelter that's actually been running out of the same converted house since 1970.
Wow.
Yeah, and they manage a domestic violence support line, plus a 24-hour crisis hotline. Their entire model is focused on the most vulnerable members of the community.
And somehow, and this is the crazy part, somehow they hold the deed to 454 Washington Avenue Extension,
Right.
which is just a couple of miles from the village center of Saugerties. And for 22 consecutive summers, they have leased that exact land to this glittering high net worth, basically a pop-up city.
Yeah, an elite pop-up city.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today for you, the listener, is to examine the mechanics of this arrangement. Because we really need to understand how a single summer show ring quietly reorganized the entire architectural, real estate, and economic life of a Hudson Valley town.
Well, to grasp the architecture of this setup, we have to look at the founder of the circuit, Tom Struzzieri,
Right.
and this highly calculated real estate search that brought him to Saugerties in the first place. So he arrived in the Hudson Valley back in 1979.
He's pretty young then, wasn't he?
Very. He was 21 years old, moving up from Long Island to manage a horse farm in Poughkeepsie. And by 1982, he launched his first multi-day horse show down in Florida.
Under a very literal name, right?
Yeah, incredibly literal. It was called Horse Shows in the Sun, which, gives us the acronym HIHITTs.
Right, HITs. And so the operation grew steadily for decades, doing Florida in the winters and finding these smaller footprints on the East Coast for the summers. And between 1999 and 2003, the New York Summer Show found a temporary home in Ellenville over in Ulster County. But they were outgrowing the space so rapidly.
Yeah, they needed a massive permanent site. And the source material notes that Struzzieri looked at 180 different locations across the Hudson Valley before finally settling on Saugerties.
180. I mean, that is just an exhaustive search.
It really is, but it speaks to the highly specific physical demands of the sport. You can't just drop a massive equestrian facility on any open field.
Right, the parameters are roofless.
Exactly. First, you need flawless highway access. We are talking about navigating literal convoys of 18-wheeler horse trailers,
Right, and Saugerties sits directly off Interstate 87.
which allows for a straight, easy shot for these transport vehicles coming all the way from Florida or, crossing the George Washington Bridge.
But beyond the logistics of the highway, it's the dirt itself that dictates the location, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
Because we cover land use a lot in our editorial discussions, and the topography required for a facility like this, it's incredibly specific. You need 200 acres of flat, buildable land.
Right.
But more importantly, you need the underlying soil mechanics to support high-end competition footing. I mean, if an elite jumper is clearing a 5-foot fence, the concussive force on that animal's front legs when it lands is just immense.
Yeah, it's massive.
So the ground has to offer sheer strength so the horse doesn't slip, but enough cushion to prevent injury.
Which means the natural drainage of the site has to be impeccable. And that's before you even begin trucking in the specialized sand and synthetic fiber mixtures for the actual rings.
Right.
The Family of Woodstock parcel, offered that baseline geological advantage. So Struzzieri approaches the nonprofit with this really unconventional proposal.
And this is where it gets good.
Yeah. He proposes that HAS would lease the land and take on the millions of dollars in capital expenditure required to build the purpose-built showgrounds from scratch.
Right. The stabling, the rings, the viewing berms, all the infrastructure.
Exactly. And in exchange, the gate receipts from the spectators would flow directly back to Family of Woodstock.
I got to put a spotlight on the financial reality of that deal, because it is essentially like a local soup kitchen funding its operations by leasing its backyard to the Met Gala.
That's a great way to put it.
And the numbers are staggering. When the purpose-built Saugerty Showgrounds opened on Memorial Day weekend in 2004, those gate receipts were reported to be roughly $15,000 a week.
A week.
A week. A local food pantry and crisis shelter suddenly found themselves pulling in massive weekly revenue from the spectator gates of a luxury sporting event.
It completely transformed the nonprofit's financial foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, 34 years after starting as a crash pad, they became the landlord for one of those vital hunter-jumper venues on the Eastern Seaboard.
Wow.
And they secured this revenue stream without having to operate the sport or, you know, maintain any of the equestrian infrastructure.
Okay, but let me challenge the longevity of that for a second. Because a handshake deal in 2004 is a great origin story, but the corporate landscape of this sport has changed.
It has, yeah.
Right. So in April 2022, a private equity firm, Traub Capital Partners, acquired the majority corporate ownership of HIS.
Right. And Struzzieri stepped down as CEO.
Exactly. Though he remains a part owner and director. But private equity buyouts usually focus on, well, maximizing margins. So my immediate concern looking at this would be a corporate entity squeezing out the local charity to capture those gate receipts for themselves.
It's a valid concern, but the brilliance of the original setup actually protects the nonprofit here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Family of Woodstock holds the actual deed to the physical dirt. Traub Capital bought the corporate entity, the brand, and the operational infrastructure of HIS, but they literally cannot operate the Saugerties event without the land.
Oh, wow. So the foundational landlord-tenant arrangement is locked in.
Exactly. The lease dictates the terms, meaning the corporate evolution of the circuit doesn't erase the local benefit. The revenue just continues to flow to the crisis hotline and the youth shelter 22 consecutive summers later.
It's a masterclass in utilizing local assets, honestly. So having established the foundation of the land, we need to transition to the actual usage of it. Because the structural reality of American hunter-jumper competition is that it is strictly a two-season sport.
Right. The industry operates on this massive internal migration pattern.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting.
So from January through March, the absolute central nervous system of the sport is planted in Palm Beach County, Florida, in places like Ocala.
Right.
The Wellington Winter Equestrian Festival dominates the calendar. For those months, the entire industry, the horses, the riders, the trainers, the wealth, it's all concentrated in the South.
But high-performance horses cannot compete in the brutal heat, humidity, and, you know, the insect pressure of a Florida summer.
No, definitely not.
So in April and May, Florida clears out. And this is a fascinating logistical phenomenon. It's like an entire Olympic Village packing up its golf carts, its million-dollar horses, its bespoke tack shops, and just driving up I-95.
Yeah, exactly.
A massive portion of that exact same competitive tier relocates directly to Saugerties for the next 5 months.
The sheer scale of this migration requires staggering logistics.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the current 2026 season, which runs from May 15th all the way through October 11th, you have 1,500 to 2,000 horses arriving on the property during a peak week.
Just imagine that, moving 2,000 highly sensitive, incredibly valuable athletes across the country.
It involves a fleet of specialized transport companies,
yeah,
veterinary checkpoints, and just massive quarantine and stabling coordination.
And once they arrive at 454 Washington Avenue Extension, they are entering a completely self-contained pop-up city. You've got endless rows of purpose-built stabling. You have VIP tenting, the viewing berms above the Grand Prix Arena, and a massive human infrastructure to support the animals. We are talking roughly 3,000 people descending on Saugerties.
And those 3,000 people represent a highly specialized workforce.
Yeah.
You know, you have the riders and their families, obviously, but you also have the grooms who manage the day-to-day care of the animals, the trainers, the judges, the course designers.
Mm.
And then you bring in the central services like veterinarians who specialize in equine sports medicine and farriers.
I really want to highlight the farriers for a second, because in this context, they aren't just blacksmiths hammering on horseshoes in a barn.
Oh, no.
These are highly paid equine podiatrists and biomechanical engineers. They are dealing with millimeter adjustments to a horse's hoof to optimize its takeoff and landing over these massive jumps.
Exactly. And you also have a sprawling retail ecosystem that migrates with the tour.
Right.
Tack shops, which supply everything from custom saddles and bridles to high-end riding apparel, they set up massive retail tents on the grounds. Feed suppliers are coordinating tractor trailers full of specialized grain and hay.
And clusters of golf carts zipping between the 10 different competition rings.
Yeah, 10 rings. Which are necessary because of the mechanical differences within the sport itself.
Right. For anyone who hasn't spent time analyzing equestrian events, the circuit is divided primarily into hunters and jumpers, and they require completely different architectural setups.
I really do.
Hunter events are judged subjectively on form, grace, and style. The horse should look smooth, rhythmic, effortless, almost like a figure skater.
Yeah.
And the obstacles are designed to look like natural field hunting barriers.
But jumper events, conversely, are pure physics and speed.
Right.
It's entirely objective.
Right.
The fences are brightly colored, often massive, and the only things that matter are leaving the rails up and crossing the finish line under the time allowed. Knock down a rail, you get a fault. It requires sharp, aggressive turns and incredible explosive power.
And because the mechanics of those two disciplines are so different, they require separate arenas, different footing mixtures in the dirt, dedicated warm-up rings, specialized course designers. This is exactly why the footprint in Saugerties has to be 200 acres.
Exactly. And the caliber of the athletes navigating these rings is identical to what you see in the global winter circuits. The competitive tier does not drop just because they move to the Catskills.
No, not at all.
The rosters in Saugerties read like an Olympic starting list.
Yeah, I was reviewing the results from recent years, and it is a showcase of the international elite.
Yeah.
You have Kent Farrington, the American world number one, who rode a horse named Grâce de Mars to win the Saugerties CSI 3-Star Grand Prix in September of 2025.
Right.
And Jessica Springsteen, a Tokyo 2020 Olympic team silver medalist, she won the Saugerties Million Dollar Grand Prix back in 2016.
Andre Thiem, who took team gold in Tokyo for Germany, has won that specific Million Dollar event in Saugerties three separate times.
Yeah.
You also regularly see names like BZ Madden, McLean Ward, and Laura Kraut. These campaigners spend their winters in Wellington and their summers in the Hudson Valley to keep their horses conditioned and to accumulate global ranking points.
Now, the source material does point out a recent shift in the financial structure of the Saugerties prizes. During a 2023 renovation of the venue, some of the absolute marquee purses were scaled down.
Yeah, that's true.
The famous $1 million Grand Prix and the $500,000 Diamond Mills Hunter Prix Final were adjusted or retired. But looking at the 2026 entry lists, the caliber of the field hasn't diminished in the slightest.
Because the prize money restructuring didn't alter the necessity of the venue. The sport simply needs a premium East Coast summer home.
Right.
The peak of the current 2026 season, which is HETAS Hudson Valley 8th, running September 2nd through the 6th, still features a $125,000 FEI CSI 3-Star Grand Prix and a $300,000 Hunter Classic.
So the horses jumping in Wellington in February are jumping in Saugerties in July.
Exactly. It operates not as some minor league training ground, but as the indispensable summer chapter of the American Hunter Jumper calendar.
But, you know, 3,000 people and 2,000 horses, they don't just dematerialize when the final ribbon is handed out on a Sunday afternoon.
No, they don't.
They have to sleep, eat, and exist. And this forces us to look beyond the showgrounds and analyze the metamorphosis of the town itself. Because Saugerties essentially undergoes a fundamental economic reorganization to absorb this migrating city.
Yeah, the people who work the horse show do not live inside the showgrounds. They live in the surrounding community of Saugerties and the neighboring towns. And because the HITs calendar runs from May through October, this isn't a weekend tourist influx.
Right. It's a season-long tenancy.
Exactly. Trainers, working students, ring crews, and the riders require housing for 5 uninterrupted months.
So if I live in Saugerties, and I have absolutely zero connection to the equestrian world, I am still intimately impacted by the circuit through the local real estate and hospitality markets.
Oh, undeniably.
The short-term rental economy is entirely contoured around this 5-month window. Vrbo and Airbnb listings heavily market their proximity to HAS, treating it as like the primary selling feature of the property.
Because the property demands from the equestrian crowd dictate local land valuation.
Right.
This migrating workforce has incredibly specific physical requirements for housing.
Right.
They prioritize acreage above almost everything else. The horses need turnout, you know, safe, fenced pastures where they can graze, decompress, and just maintain their mental health away from the high-stress environment of the show ring.
Right. And they also look for properties with existing barns or at least zoning leniency that allows them to construct temporary stabling for the summer.
Yeah.
And perhaps most crucially, they calculate the commute. Transporting a $1 million animal in a trailer every morning means the drive to Washington Avenue Extension has to be measured in minutes.
They want to avoid heavy traffic or winding, steep mountain roads at all costs.
Exactly. So older working farms and large residential estates in the Saugerties area suddenly transition into these premium, high-yield assets.
Yes.
Some of these compounds are bought and sold on the private real estate market strictly based on their utility to the summer horse show. Others operate as really lucrative seasonal rentals, often leasing to the exact same high-net-worth rider or trainer year after year.
It creates a parallel shadow real estate market that operates quietly behind the scenes of the town.
And the spillover into local commercial businesses is just as profound. Restaurants in the village center or along Route 212 book out to capacity.
Oh yeah, you can't get a table.
Right. And local hardware stores, plumbing contractors, electricians, they all see a surge in demand as these seasonal estates are opened up and maintained. The town's economic rhythm aligns perfectly with the Sunday afternoon Grand Prix schedule.
It creates a really unique symbiosis.
Hmm.
Massive estates sit quietly under a blanket of snow for the winter, completely dormant, only to aggressively wake up in late spring when the convoys of trailers start crossing the bridges into Ulster County.
Which brings us to the inevitable conclusion of this cycle, the silence.
Yeah.
Because the 2026 season pushes through the fall, wrapping up with the Fall Classic version 2 in mid-October. The Catskill light shifts, the temperature drops, and the entire operation just reverses itself.
The season terminates. The trailers are packed up. The specialized footing in the rings is groomed one last time, and the convoy heads south back to Florida.
Leaving the town behind.
Right. The Saugerties short-term rental market undergoes a sudden, massive reset, and the 200-acre parcel on the west side of town goes completely dark.
The site sits in absolute silence for 7 months, just empty fields and dormant infrastructure waiting for May of 2027. It defines the reality of a two-season equestrian town. The show ring operates for only 5 months, but the architectural and economic structure of the community has been permanently altered by it.
Yeah, synthesizing the history and the economics of this operation reveals that Saugerties isn't merely a northern imitation of Wellington. It's a distinct community that has uniquely adapted its real estate and commercial sectors to host a massive migrating industry. Yet none of this town-altering history, none of the multi-million-dollar real estate deals, happens without that original handshake lease from 2004.
The dirt underneath the luxury is what matters most. So for you listening, the next time you find yourself driving past a quiet, empty fairground in the dead of winter, or you're standing in the middle of a bustling high-end summer festival with VIP tents and corporate sponsors, look a little closer at the ground beneath your feet.
Definitely. Investigate who actually holds the deed.
Because the surface-level aesthetics of an event rarely tell the true story of how local economy is actually functioning.
That is very true.
And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over today, expanding beyond just the equestrian world. If a grassroots 1970s-era youth shelter and food pantry can secure decades of passive, reliable funding by leveraging their spare land for one of the most elite, high-society sports on Earth, what other untapped, entirely unconventional synergies are sitting dormant in our local economies?
Right.
What massive community solutions are hiding in plain sight, just waiting for two completely different worlds to sit down and negotiate a creative lease agreement? Keep looking beneath the surface. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.